You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people. Stop giving up yourself. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. It is Wednesday. You got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, and you got to get it done, regardless of whatever the circumstances are, you know you must get it done. I know you will do it because you don't procrastinate. No. That's not you. That is not in your nature. That is not in your DNA. You get things done, and that's why we appreciate you and love you and respect you for it. So keep on keeping on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. On the page, it's at the top, you'll see podcast. You click on that, and then the drop down will be African Perspectives. You click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, hosted by Brother Wahad. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. And then right after that is Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Kamban. That's on Mondays from 8 to 9. Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey every first and third Mondays of the month. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Last night he had a good conversation with Dr. Bruce Bridges and Brother Marvin X on leadership. Very good conversation. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, the After 7 program through Black Reality Think Tank with the young millennials at After 7, 7 p.m. Eastern time. In fact, all times I'm giving are Eastern times because, you know, they broadcast from Milwaukee Central Time. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank Sister Talk from 4 to 6. And then after, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council. And then Sunday, once again, on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. I hope you've gone to the website and seen the myriad of products that are produced by us and that you can get. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahimba. The trips that he has this year, I believe, may be rescheduled. I would say to those who are interested, please give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Rinoco has rescheduled his to next year, January 21st through February 4th of next year, going to Uganda and Rwanda. And then August 1st through the 14th of next year, going to Kemet. So those two trips. And go online to Dr. Rinoco, DrRunoko.com. DrRunoko.com. Habashah, Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Habashah, Incorporated.org. Mama Nia at Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Sister Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Okay, I have a new screen family, and I'm not sure how these calls are coming in on what is called Uber conferences, how I get calls. You don't necessarily have to have it to broadcast, but if you want to get calls, you have to have it. And I want to have it. And they presented a new screen to me, and I'm trying to figure it all out. But I appreciate for those who are on, and I appreciate you just hanging on. Okay? Thank you. Another bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore, Brother Gazimde Ajamu in Lithonia. The number to call for Brother Gazimde is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He's got coffee. He's got the nice coffee bar there, but he's got all of the good stuff. He's got the NASGAS shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. I mean, he's got it all. So it's a great setup in Lithonia. Give my brother a call at 404-519-8107. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End here in Atlanta. The address is 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And the number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have the athletics sportswear, you know, with the very quality African themes and symbolism, the Zulus, the Herus, the Dogon Starseed, the Omex, you name it, they got it. And they have all kinds of, in fact, they have We Buy Black products in Wadada's. So check out Wadada's if you're in the neighborhood, right across the street from Soul Veg, right up the street from Shrine of Black Madonna and the West End Mall, which is being gentrified. I don't know if I needed to put that in, but just stating a fact. Okay. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is Dare to Win. And you can listen to Us Lifting Us at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. on Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast. And if you want to listen by phone and maybe ask a question or comment or concern, dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, as I like to say, family-centered economics. My good sister, Gabriella Aurelia, with her program, Sanjay-Haiti, in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti, in the rural area, doing outstanding work. Go online to Sanjay-Haiti.org and check out what she's doing. And if you feel it should be supported, please do so. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akabin Institute, located here in Atlanta. You know our affection for Baba Baruti. Yep, that's it right there. That's right. If you wanted to donate to Akabin Institute to support the work that they're doing, okay, that means you're going to go to Akabin. That means you're going to send a check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, too, their programming for is August 8th, African-Centered Nation Building with Baba Baruti. That is going to be 12 noon to 2 p.m. August 8th. It is $10 donation, $5 for younger folk. It is an online Zoom program once again. That is going to be August 8th, next week, Saturday. And for the sisters, Mama Ya Baruti will be doing a class same day, August 8th. From 4 to 6, from 12 to 2 is Baba Baruti, from 4 to 6 is Mama Ya, and her topic is resisting the horrification of African women, and that is going to be next Saturday at 4 p.m. Okay, let me get to the Yinye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought before I make those other announcements, particularly the announcements of the organizations that are having programs in August. August is, of course, African Liberation Month. That's right. So I'll be making those announcements shortly. But to go to the Yinye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, July 28th. When the core of a body is oppressed, destroyed, polluted, corrupted, or raped, but it's biological, social, institutional, or national, the body that envelops it, it is itself dead. For African people so horribly mangled, traumatized, and fractured by others' genocidal weapons of war, healing requires that we locate the source of our pain in its progressive manifestations within us. For the toxins that bring death have infected us to the living core. Our healing requires that we stop it, both at the external source and to work backward to where the cycle, self-fulfilling origins of its internal manifestations are rooted. As oversimplified as it may sound, the means by which our healing must occur is through the study and practice of our traditions without modifying their humanity and self-love. Health controls disease. And returning to our source removes the power of aliens to break down our spiritual, mental, and physical defense systems, both individually and collectively. Studying and practicing our traditions gives us an informed, critical understanding of what to maintain and strengthen and what to ignore and discard because it gives us in our historical understanding of what has and has not worked for us over our time on this planet. Ashe. Affirm, I am in the process of cleansing our core. July 29th. The right of men to enjoy of freedom is a settled point, and where he derived of this without any criminal act of his own, it is his duty to regain his liberty at every cost. William Wells Brown. There are still Africans in the world who have no fear of Europeans or their way. There are still Africans in this reality who refuse to compromise our children and ancestors for the delusional comfort afforded to those who worship evil and disorder. They have not forgotten how to live and die for what we believe in. Those Africans should be honored above all others, and our service as warriors and scholars should always, unfailingly, be in their footsteps. Affirm, it is my duty to regain our liberty at any cost. Affirm, it is my duty to regain liberty at any cost. The Inyesesim of daily revolutionary thought. The Inyesesim. So, there is a wealth of information that is going to be, we got Marcus Garvey Day. We got something happening this Saturday. Marcus Garvey Day is the 15th. So we got something happening this Saturday. So we want to talk about that and a host of other things. So I want to make sure that we understand that these programs are there, and they're there for our enjoyment and ability for us to come together and celebrate who we are. African Independence Day Organizing Committee presents 16th Annual African Independence Day Ma'at Celebration 2020 from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. From 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The theme is Culture is Our Immune System. Culture is Our Immune System. Special guest performances, children pavilion presentations, awards, and a keynote speaker. Virtual African Marketplace. AfricanIndependenceDay.org. So if you want to check out what I'm talking about and how to get connected, go to African Independence. That's once again African with a K. I think everybody that is truly African spells African with a K. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Swahili, you know, African with a K. AfricanIndependenceDay@gmail.com. The number to call if you need to call, you know, if you want more additional information, is 267-521-1544. 267-521-1544. That's African Independence Day this Saturday, August 1st, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. In Cobra, July 31st, this weekend as well. In fact, tomorrow starts the In Cobra Conference in Cobra, National Coalitions for Blacks for Reparations in America. It's their 31st National Convention. Elders preparing the next generation for reparations. Elders preparing the next generation for reparations. A virtual convention, July 30 through the 1st. COVID-19 and reparations, creating federal, state, and city reparations commissions. That's incobraonline.org. To register, go to incobraonline.org. incobraonline.org. The Red, Black, and Green Centennial Conference. That's right, brothers and sisters, the Red, Black, and Green Centennial Conference. Next week, Saturday through the 9th. Saturday and Sunday. There'll be many virtual workshops, 70 presenters, 70 live music, and much more. Up, you mighty race. You can accomplish what you will. So that's RBG Centennial Conference. For more information, go to RBG.com. Excuse me, go to RBGCentennial.com. I repeat, for more information, go to RBGCentennial.com. Kujichagulia Incorporated and United Front presents 100 Years in the Whirlwind, the official 2020 Black August Virtual International Conference, the African August Virtual Conference, August 14th, 15th, and 16th. For more information, go to 100 Years in the Whirlwind at gmail.com. 100 Years in the Whirlwind for this virtual conference. I mean, they're going to have plenty of speakers. This once-in-a-lifetime historic three-day event will celebrate, commemorate, educate, and unify Africans all over the globe under the banner of resistance. 100 Years in the Whirlwind. And then Race First Rally. The Race First Rally against white terrorism, police brutality, mass incarceration, exploitation, miseducation, and racism. August 16th, 2 p.m. at Lafayette Square Park in Baltimore. But you can check it out online. The Race First Conference. Contact Brother Imhotep in Baltimore at 410-900-7527. That's 410-900-7527. The Race First Rally against white terrorism. And so we have that. And we appreciate that. And we have the NIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, and African Communities League, the NIAACL. And their program is going to be Saturday the 15th, Marcus Garvey Day program. The theme is Garveyites, Can We Unite? It is a 24-hour marathon on Zoom. It's a free event, 24-hour marathon on Zoom. To register, go to www.cbpm.org/Marcus Garvey Day. If you want to talk to Brother Roz Marvin, the number is 678-827-2276. 678-827-2276. So we got those in, we got them in. I'm thankful. We got them in. Africa for the Africans, at home and abroad. Yep. Okay, so now that I know, because I was, what I just read to you, I was looking for it. It was in front of my face all the time. I tell you, I was starting to get like really shaky because I was like, damn, where's that stuff at? And bam, here it is. Thank you, ancestors. I appreciate it. Sometimes it just happens that way, you know. You're looking for something and then there you go. There it is. Yep. There it is. So I appreciate that. I really do. So now let's do this. Today, we're going to talk about and look at and read out of the arrow. And if you have listened to this program, you know I am a sincere proponent, not opponent, proponent for the Arrow newsletter out of San Antonio, Texas, the Organization for African Unity. I am a sincere, I've been reading this paper before Baba Phil Johnson passed. And the brothers and sisters have done a great honor in keeping this newspaper and the organization in San Antonio in his memory alive. They have appeared. They have driven from San Antonio, Texas, here to Atlanta to be a part of the Abakasan Sumsum, because they also made the newspaper that for the last few years, the African World, because the first edition came out when they came here, when we were recreating the convention that Marcus Garvey had called in 1920, where over 20,000 of our people, that's right, 20,000 of our people showed up and had the convention at the old Madison Square Garden. They were here for a month. The whole objective is to create the documents that are necessary for us to move as a people collectively around the globe, collectively, to end what we have been consistently and continuously experiencing. I'll have more to say about that. But there's a lot of good stuff in the newsletter. It used to come out monthly. Now it comes out quarterly. And, that's cool. I'm a subscriber, and I will continue to subscribe. In fact, the subscription information is right here. if you want to subscribe to the Arrow newspaper out of San Antonio, Texas, what you need to do, the Arrow newspaper, is give them a call at 210-333-0118. That's 210-333-0118. And like I said, the Arrow newspaper, or you can contact them, send them an email, info@obuinc.org. info@obuinc.org. Their address is The Arrow, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. That is The Arrow, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220, San Antonio, Texas. And they're constantly doing it in the memory of James Phil Johnson, the founder and managing editor of the Organization of Black Unity and The Arrow newspaper. A lot of good stuff, especially since they're doing it quarterly, a lot of good stuff to read, and especially for this month because it is African Liberation Month. So looking at, I'm going to read that, of course, and that's the focus for sovereignty. They say freedom, but I'm saying sovereignty. So that's how I'm going to read that, the focus for sovereignty. I'll read that in the second part of the program because after I read it, I know we're going to have some good conversation. But there's all kinds of good articles in here. In fact, I'm going to read this one on testing right quick. But just so you know who the Arrow is, and just, you know, on the back of the page, there's the thing they have. When you look at the very back page, in the upper left-hand corner, it says, "Leaders wanted, reward, freedom, justice, and power. Study these for qualifications." At the top, they got Winnie Mandela, Stephen Biko, Fannie Lou Hamer, and Baba Jake Carruthers. At the bottom, they have Queen Mother Moore, Baba Phil James, Yah Asantewaa, and Dr. John Henry Clark. Those are all good men and women to study, to be leaders, to understand leadership. They have a very good article here on Conrad, who made his transition last month. I'm not going to read that today, but I am going to read that because if you know me, I have an affection for Conrad Wuerl. I knew him personally. We were, you know, we talked and jabbed around all the time. Conrad was a good man, good brother. I was just really hurt that I thought that he would survive COVID-19. I know his age. He's almost 80, and I'm not sure of whatever health problems he might have had. But I was really surprised at that, you know. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, there's all kinds. They remember a lot of their family and ancestors, you know, who are members of the Organization of African Unity in San Antonio, Texas, or the OBU. But they also remember people that we know. They have a remembering Dr. Layla Africa, when he made his transition, they have a piece on that. They have a piece on Ida B. Wells, the Crusader for Justice, a beautifully strong woman. And, of course, me and Akil Parker, we talked about Ida B. Wells. In fact, we wound up talking about Ida B. Wells for the whole program. We was going to talk about Assata Shakur. So we said, well, we'll do Assata Shakur next time because that was just some good information, additional information about Ida B. Wells. And in fact, we really didn't get it all in. But what we did get in, I know that for those who listened, it was definitely informative and giving a really healthy respect for Ida B. Wells. That's one thing about us as African people, our men and our women historically work together from ancient times to the present. I know in today's world, there's such a deep division between us as men and our sisters. And that is by design. Because if I keep you at each other, if I keep you divided, because what is most important to having good community life is family. It's family. And of course, this society definitely does not want Africans. In fact, not just here, but globally, to understand the importance of family and more importantly, initiating it, making it happen. So there's one article here on Marcus Garvey, of course, to, you know, the 17th is his birthday, and all the other good stuff that happens. An article here on Patrice Lumumba. And, man, we always must honor Patrice Lumumba. Just like, you know, because of the all the lies of this society made us think that Idi Amin Dada of Uganda was a madman. He was a cannibal. He was a cannibal. Let me tell you this and understand this very well, dear brothers and sisters. African people were never cannibals. Could there have been some remote area in Africa or in Borneo where, you know, because Africa can be all over the world. Could have resulted to cannibalism? Possible. But I do know that Europeans, because of that environment, resulted to cannibalism. I do know that Europeans, when they came here, in some of those harsh times here, resorted to cannibalism. In fact, there was a movie. I can't remember what that movie name was, but man, they had resorted to, it was an outpost. It was the setting, same setting, like 1600 or 1700s. And them cats had resulted to cannibal. In fact, there was this one cat, he was eating up everybody. Yes, he was eating everybody, man. But no, that is not us. So the images of a big pot and boiling some Caucasians in a big pot. But of course, cartoons did that. Video cartoons as well as illustrated cartoons did that. Because when you don't have control of the imagery, when you don't have control of the narrative, and that's what they want to put out, that's what they're going to put out. There's a good article here about our sister, our dear sister, Queen Mother Moore. When you talk about reparations, when you think about reparations, you should begin with Queen Mother Moore. I mean, actually, really, I'm going to be honest with you, and I did this last year. Talked about Callie House. Callie House, right after the war, she was the one who petitioned and later put in jail. She was in for about a year. She was the first one to petition to this government for reparations for African people. Queen Callie House. And then, of course, Queen Mother Moore picked it up. And there are many others from reparations. There's also a couple of good articles, the Pan-African News Brief on Ghana, Kenya, Nigeria, and Tanzania, Benin. It's little snippets of stuff there. Like I said, get the newsletter. Subscribe to it. Let it come into in your mail. I mean, I know nowadays, and see, they're doing it specifically by mail. They're not doing it. I talked about that online. They don't do it online. They do it by mail. I love it. Become a friend, a member of the Organization for Black Unity, as I call it, the Organization for African Unity. As a friend member, you'll receive a membership card, the Arrow newsletter quarterly, as well as a quarterly packets updating you on the organization's progress and happenings. Send $50, an annual contribution. $50, that's, man, a year. You know what? I'm going to re-up because I'm almost certain I haven't paid my dues. And because they do it this way, you know, like for the some organization I'm with, they just take it out. You know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement,
I'm a member of that. You heard me promote that, you know, and they just take it out. So, I mean, that's cool, too. But I always want to be in support of what we're doing because we need that. We need brothers and sisters to make a contribution, to make a sacrifice, whatever that might be, of time, energy, resources, talents, money, whatever it is. We need that. You seen yesterday, and I'm quite sure you've seen it on your in your emails, in your what is that? Facebook. Seen it on Facebook numerous times. The press conference, I believe it was in Texas. The press conference of supposedly noted doctors. And they're all standing around, and this Caucasian lady introduces this African sister. And nobody has a mask on, you know. And then she starts firing off, just like Trump said. Oh, she was really great. I don't know if you've seen that piece, because Trump's conference yesterday, he walked out on it because they started blasting him, because he once again proposed that hydroxychloroquine along with zinc, along with, I think is ethylamycin, some other kind of antibiotic, will work for COVID-19 patients. He pushed it again, you know, and he mentioned the African sister. She's Nigerian, but then somebody says she's not Nigerian, but they kept throwing stuff out there who she is. And they had a clip of her talking about, you know, some of these diseases are from the devil, you know. Also, she said, she said, if you masturbate, that is of the devil. But if you are with your wife, that is of God, you know. I don't know, brothers and sisters, I don't know. But, of course, they're fast-tracking these the vaccines, and, of course, they shut that information down. If you haven't seen that press conference, it may be hard for you to see it, although many people have sent it to me. I mean, a ton of people. I probably had a number of people that have sent that, you know, especially from out of the country, because they, you know, once again, you must be skeptical. You must look at everything with a scrutinizing eye. I don't trust this system. I don't trust Caucasians one bit. And if you know this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're talking about independence. We're talking about self-determination. We're talking about liberation. And we're talking about sovereignty for African people, because we believe there is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. Everything else is frivolous. Hey, listen, I love sports. I played it. I coached it. I love sports. I love a number of things, but I would trade every one of those things up for African people to be liberated, to be sovereign, to have our own land, to go back to Africa and work with Africans to manage our land, to be an example for the world of a society where people can live and love freely in, where everybody is respected. And when you work for, if there's somebody who's destitute, somebody, we help them. We don't let them languish in filth and squalor. We help them. That's why it hurts so bad when you look at Africa, knowing the resources that it has, that it's always had and still has. And been, I mean, Africa has been looted and raped for its people, for its resources, for its land, for centuries, centuries. And yet it is still has more gold, more diamonds, bauxite, cobalt, uranium, beautiful land that we could feed the world. So all I'm saying is that it is still there. What we must do is purge ourselves of this ignorance, of this stupidity. Close ranks, pull resources, and manage the continent for ourselves. If the folks in the north, those Arabs who have been neutering some of our brothers to sell them to other Arab countries and putting other brothers and sisters into enslavement and raping and so forth, in Libya particularly, but also it's in Mauritania, in Algeria, it's in Egypt, saying to them, if you do not follow the rules that we are putting down for the continent of Africa, you're going to have to get your ass out. Go back to Oman, go back to Iraq, go back to wherever the hell you came from. All of the people who have invaded Africa, the Indians, the Koreans, the Chinese, the Japanese, all of these people have had dealings in Africa. I told you already, they're talking about 300 million Chinese. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? That they're going to transport into Africa. Oh, hell no. We must stop that. We, as Africans in the diaspora and Africans on the planet, must get together and stop that. Now, if you want to stay here in America, that's cool. You have established, you got houses, you got all kinds of stuff, you're tied economically, whatever. That's cool. But the most important thing is you support it. Just like the European Jews. The European Jews support Israel. They don't ask, along with the United States taxpayers, myself, yourself included, support Israel. We need to have that same mindset that we are going to support Africa. I'm going to read this piece here. Then we're going to take a break. This is testing. Testing that goes on. Testing COVID-19 vaccines. Recently, two French doctors in a television discussion suggested trials for vaccines against COVID-19 should be conducted upon African patients. The World Health Organization's director, who's from Ethiopia, called the comments racist. Africa can't and won't be a testing ground for any vaccines, the director said. Through an apology, and has since been issued for the remarks, the idea of Africans as a source for experimental drugs and vaccines has the need to develop a vaccine for COVID-19 heightens, we as a people should remember and adhere to the adage, those who don't learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. African people have been used as guinea pigs in the infamous Tuskegee syphilis experiment, as well as the founding of the field of gynecology. And if you don't remember that, there is a statue of the Caucasian doctor who was a pioneer in gynecology. His experiments were done on African women using no anesthetic because we don't feel pain. And if you will remember, throughout the emails and Facebook, you've seen pictures of these sisters with a gown on with a big red stain in front of their vagina to protest this man and what he has done. African people have been used as guinea pigs. In the name of advancing science, our humanity has not been respected, as many believe that we, as African people, do not feel pain. This belief justifies inhuman scientific research on us. In Zimbabwe, in the 1990s, over 17,000 HIV-positive women were tested without informed consent in the trials for the antiretroviral drug AZT, funded by the Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, and you got to turn the page, though. Still, you still got to turn the page. The National Institutes of Health, and of course, the National Institutes of Health have been its director, and of course, Dr. Fauci is with the National Institutes of Health, and of course, Dr. Fauci, who early on for me, I can give less than a rat's ass about Dr. Anthony Fauci and all the notoriety he's getting and all the. But what I do like is how it's making Trump feel. Even said to us, man, people just don't like me. Hell no, we don't like you. Look how you act. Look how you are. You are evil, vindictive, narcissistic son. Okay, let me get back to that. But Anthony Fauci, who discredited that AIDS was not made and AIDS was not created in a laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland, but yet it was. It was. Anyway, so bump Anthony Fauci. Also, during the time the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer tested an experimental drug called Trevan on 200 Nigerian children in the midst of a bacterial meningitis epidemic, several families filed and won a lawsuit against Pfizer on the basis of violation of informed consent. After an investigation in another vaccine administration program, WHO was accused of and later admitted to developing sterility vaccines. The vaccines were developed as a tetanus vaccine to be used on Kenyan women. As African countries are being asked to test vaccines, knowing our history allows us to make sound decisions. Whether these decisions are made as on an individual or national level, economic incentives should not be the guiding factor to become what has some have described as medical fodder for advancements that benefit everyone, but us. Everyone but us, I tell you. So before I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I'm going to get off into this article. That's a featured article here on the Arrow. And so you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Grover Washington Jr., Mr. Magic. Once again, the 70s, the early 70s. Love them. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, African Perspectives, this program right here from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all times they're going to give our Eastern times. On Monday evening from 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philly. Right after that is Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moye Kamban and Sister Nataki Kamban. And then after that is 9 p.m., Conversation Reparations with Brother Moke and Sister Lacey every first and third Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers every Tuesday at 8 p.m. On Thursday at 7 p.m., after 7, the Black Reality Think Tank group of millennials. On Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, Sister Talk. And then right after that at 7 p.m. on Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday, 7 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank. Sunday, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Once again, I'm reading from the Arrow. I've saved these papers. So for now, I have a number of them for years because the information is outstanding and the front page narratives are just, man, on point. The brother, and I had the opportunity to meet him before he made his transition many years ago when I was still in Milwaukee and as a member of the National Black United Front. We had our convention in Houston, Texas at the Shape Center. So those who are in Houston or are familiar with Houston, you know the Shape Center. It's a nice community center, nice venue. And they brought a busload of brothers and sisters. In fact, if it wasn't for them, that conference would have been, yeah, exactly. Because they came with around about 15, 20 people. Not a real big busload, but, you know, vans and cars and so forth. But they came to San Antonio to participate with the National Black United Front. And I was very impressed with the young brothers and sisters. Just like they came to Atlanta for Ibaka Sassoon Sassoon for Marimba Ani's program, African Spiritual Warfare, for a number of years. And they print the African World Newsletter. So these are some beautiful brothers and sisters in San Antonio that deserve to be supported. Deserve to be supported. And they continue to write his narratives on the front page with his byline, Phil Johnson. Once again, I do change words around because, in fact, I'm going to tell you, maybe next week I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a program just talking about the importance of language, words having meaning, all that kind of, people say, words have meaning. Well, let's deal with that because a lot of times the problems that we have is because of the verbiage that we use. And so we're going to deal with that. And if you got ideas on that, let's try. Well, next week we're going to do it, I assure you. Also, too, next week, Friday, my guest will be my good friend, Dr. Renoko Rashidi. Me and Baba Renoko Rashidi are going to chop it up next week, Friday. Here, and then the following Friday is Brother Baba. Trying to get that piece of paper here. Yeah. We got Baba Baruti. That's right, Baba Baruti. I'll have him, and I just want to make sure I got that correct before I say something. But, of course, we can always change it. So we're going to have Baba Baruti and Brother Renoko. So I have two distinguish. They don't know, brother. I don't want them to be extinguished. That's for damn sure. Those two great men in the lives of African people who have done so much, so much for our people. And they deserve to be supported. Believe me, they do. The Organization for African Unity, their newsletter, The Arrow. Focus on Sovereignty by Phil Johnson. At this point in history, every African person must be involved in our struggle for sovereignty. If we are to avoid the fate of the original Americans and many others, being focused on sovereignty is a must. Having a plan of action for African survival is being focused. Having an action plan for African sovereignty, not just for survival, because sovereignty means that we have control, total control. Nobody outside of us can tell us a damn thing. They can't tell us sugar, honey, iced tea. We have total control. Having a plan of action for African sovereignty is being focused. It means keeping our eyes and ears open, staying vigilant, never giving up our struggle, staying determined, and checking out everything going on around us, inside of us, being critical. A plan of action requires remaining focused. A necessary part of that plan is identifying the major problems confronting us and outlining the actions to resolve them. One of our problems is political oppression, the deliberate, systematic exclusion of Africans and other people of color from freely participating in the process by which they are governed. Sovereignty will take everything out from under the controls of a government that builds jails and mental institutions for the victims of exclusion, rather than jobs and programs of inclusion. A government that speaks for and secures freedom, justice, and equality of life for Europeans while dispensing injustice, welfare, and social domination for the masses of our people. And the government that has intimidated, incarcerated, humiliated, deported, and assassinated every leader who has come forward to help raise us up. Economic oppression is another major problem confronting us. It is the deliberate, systematic control of production, distribution, and labor in such a way that only a small number of Africans can participate. Sovereignty will take putting together with money, what monies and other resources we have to produce and distribute goods as well as employ our people. It will take stepping back from welfare of all kinds and getting involved in the creative production of goods and systems to advance African people everywhere we reside, everywhere on the planet that we reside. Sovereignty will take reparations, organizing and demanding that the government pay us for the hell of a cost of our captivity. That is still going on to this day. In addition, we must be committed to developing an economic base through buying African. If we keep our sights on our economic plan, a true change will come. Educational oppression is a major part of our problem. It is the deliberate, systematic control of the minds of our people through the miseducation process. Miseducation has us fighting each other, hating each other, killing each other, and refusing to come together on the issues of our sovereignty. Getting control of the education of our people will place our destiny securely in our hands. That's sovereignty. As it stands, the very government that is responsible for our condition has first choice of the best African minds on the planet. Since these minds are trained to serve the ruler, they are used to assist in the containment, exploitation, and genocide of us as a people. Our own people. The rest of our young people are corrupted, wasted, and eliminated from the process. These are the ones who terrorize our community in search of an object upon which to cast their hate. A focused people would see these tricks and move to eliminate them. Our plan of action must give us a way to check the opposition and ourselves. Without a plan to direct our movement, losing sight on where we are going and why it is easy. An example is believing that sovereignty will be given by those who enslaved us. In spite of all of the people of color killed, beaten, colonized, terrorized, imprisoned, and placed on reservations during and after negotiations, we still want to negotiate. In the face of someone coming and taking our land, wealth, and people, we still want to sit down and agree to share what they stole and murdered for us. But when they are robbed and murdered, the European cries, crimes against humanity, we are not focused when we continue to operate in this way. We are not, brothers and sisters. Someone else is directing our movement. However, if we keep our eyes and ears open, remain vigilant, when the opposition moves against us, we can check our plan and counter that move. Information that is being put out for and about our people must be examined closely. We have to check out the persons who are putting this information out. Alertness will keep us, help us know when our movement is off center. Diversionary tactics must be identified early enough to get back on track before we have gone too far. The system creates images, issues, and illusions that seem real. These tactics are designed for us to lose sight on everything important to our sovereignty. If we are not vigilant, our enemies and our time are burnt off, and we are frustrated, or we're left with false sense of accomplishment. Hard though it is, we must never give up or lose heart until sovereignty is secured. Coming into struggle with the understanding that the fight will be long and hard is necessary to winning. All of the temptations to accept a material token for sovereignty must be fought off. Quitting is out of the question. I repeat, quitting is out of the question. Trying to rush the struggle will result in early frustration and failure. We must recognize it took many generations to reduce us to this condition, and it will take generations to recover. Our struggle to rebuild ourselves is not unopposed. Those who benefit from our weak and powerless condition are opposing us daily. War has been and is being waged against us. We have been warred upon. And if you read Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams, we have been warred upon for 2,000 years. We have been warred upon. Those who benefit from our weak and powerless condition are opposing us daily. War has been and is being waged against us. War victim casualties and pain are experienced daily. Yet we do not relent. But yet we do not relate to it as war. Accepting the unhealthy peace that goes from overt slaughter to covert slaughter, from total exclusion to token inclusion, must stop. Winning for ourselves the power to direct the development of our destiny must not be hampered. Understand that it may take working 24/7, 365, and beyond to shape and advance an African-centered worldview. An African worldview is necessary for African sovereignty. Yes, we must continue against the awesome odds, stealth materialism, fear, pain, and yes, even death. Our minds must be filled with one thought, sovereignty. Criticism strengthens our vigilance and determination. Checking out our thinking about the issues and strategy being used for us and against us is important. Staying focused for freedom requires being critical of the opposition and ourselves. Ideas can look the same and yet be very different. Gifts could be laced with toxins. Our political and economic sovereignty could be hampered by our instincts. We need to be critical to reveal the potential threat to our sovereignty. All those who claim they are speaking for us or working for us must be criticized. It is necessary to think and rethink to ensure our position. We must criticize the government in order to identify the contradictions in policy and programs. When the original Americans were genocided and placed on reservations, their biggest defeat came during and after a treaty of peace had been signed. Africans are guilty of buying into unhealthy treaties for peace and programs to reform, for reform too. Each time history records a defeat for the African and sets up for the opposition, it is due to our seeking an easy solution to a complex problem. That is most true. That is most true. As we continue to struggle, let us be clear on the need to remain focused for sovereignty. Let us review our plans to be sure we are online and on point. Are we still politically, economically, and educationally oppressed? If so, are we focused on methods to change this oppressive situation? Are living expressions of political, economic, and educational oppression polluting our planet in the form of excessive drug addiction, AIDS, homelessness, joblessness, murders, colonization, neocolonialism, and excessive military violence? Who is the oppressor? Can we at least identify some major players? As we continue to research, it will be revealed that many other cultures played a role and benefited from our captivity. But all of those cultures and players. And oppressors. Which of them would be willing to help us secure our sovereignty? I don't know, and I don't think none of them. We must remain consistently vigilant, relentlessly determined, and mercilessly critical to stay focused on sovereignty. Focused on sovereignty. If you want to have conversation, if you're on, I see a number of people on, you hit, was that star twice? Or pound twice, star twice, pound twice, I don't know. When you get in, let me know which one it is. I can be correct. And give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I see a few numbers here. And if you want to add to this conversation, you got something to say from what I just mentioned, or you got a point to make yourself, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832, or hit pound twice, and you can get on this conversation. You know, I guess for me, it became a reality for me a long way back that no matter what we would do, as long as we are in this situation, we will be where we are. You know, I know there's a lot of us, because we've been so indoctrinated, believe that we really can't live without them. And, you know, just like what you see happening on the news, all this praise for John Lewis. And I understand and I agree to some extent it is necessary. But John Lewis was not African-centered. John Lewis believed that Caucasians and Africans and indigenous people and everybody else can live together and live in harmony and live in peace. You know, I believe that can happen only when there's a measure of equality. You can't have one group having it all and still think that you can have peace, especially when the one group that has it all are not peaceful. They're vengeful. They're hateful. They're evil. I ain't talking about every Caucasian. You know, I'm talking about the Caucasian collective, because they have it, because it's verifiable. You could see. I ain't talking about one individual Caucasian. It's just like I remember I was talking about Caucasian in a general sense at the firehouse, you know. And they really we should tell you shouldn't talk about politics and stuff at the firehouse. But hell, it's our world. It's the world we live in. And in the firehouse, when you go out where I've worked at mostly is in our community. When you go out into that community and those Caucasians go out into that community, there have been Caucasians who have such disrespect for us. Now, I'm not saying that they did not perform their duties as a firefighter or as an emergency medical technician or as a paramedic. But I am saying those individuals had disdain for African people. Many of them had a deep disdain, particularly when affirmative action was initiated, which I came under. I mean, hell, October, November, December, 4 months. 4 months it took me to access the fire department. It took some of them cats years. They were on a list. But the fire service is a public works job, and public works jobs should reflect the cities they serve. All those who are in the city pay taxes. And so the city residents should always demand that those public works jobs, the fire department, the police department, teachers, and others, even the sanitation one, all should reflect the people that serve that community, the taxpayers. So they were pissed. Once again, they could give less than a rat's ass about our feelings. They could. That's why I'm saying, for me, it's the idea of working. I had those, you know, ideas, you know, years back. But the more I started to read, the more I started conferencing, the more I started networking and so forth, it became very clear to me. The most important thing that we as African people must have is sovereignty. We must do for ourselves. We must control our lives, control the information about us, control our minds, control our environment. We can't do it here. Now, I know Brother Aaron Hone, I had him on the program about a year or so ago, maybe a little longer, who wrote the book, The Sovereign Psyche, The Sovereign Psyche, basically saying that, you know, even in this environment, your mindset can be, and yeah, I can understand that because, I mean, if you are a sovereign thinking person, I'm a sovereign thinking person, I can go within the society and continue to deal. But I don't want just a sovereign psyche. I want us to be sovereign realistically, sovereign physically, sovereignty in reality. Because if you're in this is theirs. Now, you can walk around and say, but you are still bombarded 24/7, 365 through mass media, through television, the internet, all of this, the newspaper. And of course, you know, we rail against, I do rail against the religion because the Christian religion particularly. But Islam, I got issues with Islam. You got to have issues with Islam. The way Islam has treated African people and enslaved, and to this day are still enslaving African people. So those brothers and sisters who are Muslims, look at even Sudan. I was going to read a piece about Sudan because it's crazy. Because the Sudanese people in the north, that's why they had to split. The South Sudan are the Africans, but they all one people. They're dark too, but the Northern Sudan believe that they are not African. They believe that they are Arabs. And of course, many Arabs associate and identify with being Caucasian. Now, I know these cats can't identify with being Caucasian, but they can identify with the theology they believe in. And in that theology, culturally, it says this, I'm Arab. I'm not African. I'm not black. So, I mean, these things have done a tremendous and detrimental thing on our minds, on our psyche, and how we view ourselves and how we view each other. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. I might start picking some of you guys out because you're right here. I told you if you want to have a conversation, you know, just hit star or pound twice and you can get in on a conversation, you know. Or if you got something on your mind and you want it discussed. Okay. 404-573. Good afternoon, Queen. How are you?
I'm well. I'm okay.
Good.
I'm not well. I'm okay. Let me make one thing clear, perfectly clear, to any questioners out there. I'm not an Arab. I am a Muslim. I am not an Arab Muslim. I'm not an African Muslim. I'm not a Pakistanian or an Indian or a Chinese Muslim. I am an African American Muslim. So I want to make that perfectly clear. The Arabs are still enslaving our people to this day. So are the Orientals. But I do not subscribe to that. And one more thing. As in any religion, as far as I can tell, let us not get the religion or the religiosity mixed in with what the people do. It's two different ideologies. And Africans do subscribe to being whatever. But so do all the rest of those us Africans who do not have an African-centered identity. So that's just my take for today.
All right.
I may have more.
Okay. Stay
Peace
with us,
Peace to you all, family. Peace all right. to you all, and I love you all.
Thank you, Queen. Peace to you, my dear sister. Peace to you. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. So... And understand, and I understand what the Queen was coming from, you know. 334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshia. How are you?
Brother Lusk, how are you doing, man? How you doing, Ted? You doing all right?
Hanging in there. Once right. again, most informative program that you transmit over the airwaves and learn something new, which is done every day. I did not even know anything about Kelly Guy House and her efforts on reparations in the early days.
Yeah.
And so just giving me more homework to work on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kelly House is a beautiful sister. And in fact, about 10 or so years ago, I first found out about her. What's her name? She used to be with the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. You know, she's the one who wrote the book about Kelly House. Man, her name escapes me right now, but Mary Frances Berry wrote the book on Kelly House. In fact, if you go online, Brother Lusk, you can go to YouTube and she does a presentation and talking about the book. So that would be very helpful too. Give you got a lot of good insight into what this sister had done. And, you know, and she called them slave pensions. You know, slave pensions. Yeah. But I mean,
and then following through the article on sovereignty, you know, I think it's most fitting and proper, especially with you coming next week to talk about language. You know, maybe it's the kind and type of verbiage that we all use. Sometimes we kind of create words out of thin air and give these definitions that may not necessarily be substantive enough. And so how do we work on that? I mean, we had Ebonics, right?
Right.
We're developing that kind of cultural kind of lingo jingle, even though we may not have been well aware in Key Swahili at all, but we were developing a line of communications amongst us.
Right.
So, you know, and sovereignty, one of those words when you start talking about self-government and power and control and self-direction, boy, you could just throw tons and tons of definitions in. So it's just trying to establish a consistency, especially amongst people of African descent.
Right. And there are a lot of times there are words within the society that are used and we used, and we don't understand the psychological meanings or how it continues to perpetuate, like the word slave. I've been, you know, me and my good brother, Brother LaRue Ned, who has been on the program a few times, he called just Monday, too. He has a book called Why We Should Not Call Our Ancestors Slaves. And what we do with that particular word, particularly because we say it all the time, many people in the media, the slaves. And that, and let me tell you, and we'll talk about it next week, that word particularly is promoted and pushed by the Europeans when they refer to us. So it consistently puts into our mind, we slaves, and we will understand the meaning, you know. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submit it. It is not a fitting definition. It's not a fitting word for who we are and what we are about as a people. But because you continue to put that word out there, the slaves, you know, I mean, when there's a cartoon, there's Bugs Bunny cartoon in Yosemite Sam, you know, and in that particular piece, Bugs Bunny dresses up like Abraham Lincoln. He said, what is this out here, you beating slaves? You know, first because he comes out of the old ragtag and doo-dah.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, what is out here, you beating slaves? So that word, you put our face on it, is just like the word Holocaust. When you hear that word, you automatically put the face of European Jews on that word. Well, there are other people who have suffered a Holocaust. A Holocaust is a English word. The Jews, the European Jews, do have a word. Yiddish is called Shoah, which is a act against the people. So morally demonstrative is not just against the people themselves, but it's against humanity. And so there has been other groups that have experienced genocide. The Aqua Indians, which is now the island of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. When the Europeans came here, they named it Hispaniola. But there was the inhabitants on that island were totally eliminated. Just like the inhabitants on the island of Tasmania, totally eliminated. And the only people that I can think of, and I could be wrong, that have actually really done some serious genocide on various groups are the Europeans. You know, where they totally wiped their group out. Now, I could be wrong, and rescue me if I am, you know. But we're going to definitely do that, brother, and give me a call so you can help me out with it, okay?
I most certainly will, Brother Oshie. And as always, thank you so very much for all that you do. And just listening in and being informed and being educated more so than anything else. Thank you for all you do, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Les. All right. That's Brother Ted calling out of Montgomery, Alabama. Once again, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832 for those who are on. If you want to make a comment, a question, or concern, hit star twice or hang up, call back again, whatever the case you want to do. But, you know, not, words given a visual, an impression, that's why words are so important. And the fact is that we don't have control of the language. This is not our language. I know that we have done things within their language, slang, and just as Brother Ted said, Ebonics, Pig Latin. You know, we have done some things, you know, but still, the language is not ours. We don't have control of it. And for those who do, they use it and they manipulate it, of course, to their advantage, you know, and for their benefit, you know. And as a consequence, because the English language itself is a bastardized language. It's an interpolated language. All kinds of stuff has been thrown into that, you know, the integrated language. 646-646, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother O.C. How are you, my good brother?
I am doing well, Jay. How are you today?
Hey, brother, I'm black. I'm alive.
All right.
And I've seen
very few crackers today.
All right,
so
then.
That's a good thing. You know,
that's a great thing.
Unfortunately, I got to head on out and I got to see a few. But listen, Oshi, you were talking about words and I guess the meanings of words and how it deals with our struggle as a people.
Right.
Well, you know, perfect example is your new favorite group, NAFC, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. The No Fucking Around Coalition, yeah, NAFC.
Now, let me say this. A lot of people are talking about them.
Okay.
I just want to see where it's going to be at another 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done, what is going to be exposed, and how it's going to play out. Because, you know, little trinkets are coming out in regards to the brother. I heard something interesting that a couple of years ago he ran for president.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there just had me cracking up. I see one or two of his interviews. And, hey, listen, he talks a good game.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. He's very articulate. He's a sharp brother.
No. He's not greatly articulate. Don't say that. He knows how to wordplay. He's not on the level of a Michael Eric Dyson.
Wait, Jay, I got to stop you, man, because I ain't talking about somebody who loses all the hyperbole, all the flowery. Damn that. He's very concise and speaks to be understood. He's clear. He's articulate. He ain't, a wordsmith, no. But, in fact, some of those cats are just, running off, just chopping at the jizz because they can speak, this particular language, this bastardized language. And it's impressive, to Caucasians.
When I think of revolutionary speakers, someone that talked the talk and walked the walk, I, at the front of the list, have to go to Khalid Muhammad. I mean, Khalid Muhammad, in a sense, articulated how I felt and how a lot of brothers felt, to me, the best there ever was, in a sense. I mean, Malcolm did it on another level. Louis do it on another level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pork chop chicken eaters, they do it on another level. But I mean, as far as real revolutionary, as one would say, rhetoric, it very few like Khalid who has ever done it. Now, I'm not going to put Jay in that class. I mean, I'm just entertained by him myself. I think that he's someone that's for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch and see how the daddy deals with him, which is going to be interesting because I don't think Fredo got a whiff of him yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because this would be the perfect candidate for Fredo to use to put forward his propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
But, who knows? So maybe somebody will turn Fredo on to him. But, the reality is this. We all have to articulate our struggle and our oppression so that our people can understand the plight and the position that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, for some reason, we have allowed others to articulate their position, a.k.a. the Jew, at the expense of us as African people, to the point to where if you were to say anything in regards to something that a Jew don't like, they are in a position to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, I take great issue with. Because the honesty is that if we were, like I said, to ever tell the truth about the Jew from a biblical, historical, and cultural perspective, the bastard shouldn't even be able to open up his mouth afterwards. But for some reason, our so-called scholars are too afraid to articulate the truth in regards to what is a Semite and what is an anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. And who is a Semite. So, until we can get to that point, to where we can do that in regards to our struggle as a people, we just going to be nothing more than punks to these folks.
Yeah.
And that's the position that, unfortunately, they have us in. Now, do we understand why we in that position? I don't think so. But I put it to you like this. If we were home and we had home on lockdown, like the Russian and the Chinese and the others had their home and we were in power, we would be in a whole different position on the planet, brother.
Yes, sir. I agree wholeheartedly. That's why I'm here. That's why I say what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because you're right.
That's right.
Hold on, Queen. Go ahead, Jay.
We had control of our resources, our land. We could then dictate on our terms how we are supposed to be seen and addressed in the world. Because we don't have that, we are in this position. And that goes to when you be honest about our struggle here. Our struggle here has been a struggle that has been misguided by people who don't have no historical understanding of who we are as a people culturally. Mm-hmm. That's why you have somebody like a John Lewis praised and dignified when in essence, he just led us into madness. He allowed himself to be Stockholm Syndrome from the time he first got busted upside his head to the time he died. Because like I say to anybody, look at his community, and that tells it all. Look at him, Jim Clyburn, Charlie Rangel. Look at all of those so-called leaders
right
in Congress, in the Senate, and these political office, and tell me the name of community that is benefiting from their position at the table with daddy. And I'll leave it right there.
I hear you. All right. All right. Continue to listen, Jay. Queen.
Yes, Baba. Mm-hmm. Yes, Baba. Thank you. I have three questions. But firstly, let me say in defense of the brother John Lewis, he, for me, he was just of the mindset of what he came out of.
Sure.
And so was a lot of us then, and so are a lot of us now.
Right.
So I'm not going to allow anyone to disparage that brother's contribution. I can't allow that, Brother Jay.
Well, let me just say this.
Secondly, let me say this,
Queen. I know that last week I read an article that was dated 2017, and basically the article talked about it, but it wasn't just about John Lewis getting his pass, you know, his civil rights pass. It was the fact that many within that particular struggle, they acquiesced, they capitulated to whatever was happening. They got into Congress, they got into the state legislature or whatever, and stayed there for decades. Didn't push forth any meaningful legislation, didn't challenge the cause. Yeah, they might challenge symbolically, but they didn't challenge to a point, you know, where they were really trying. No, they liked them there, you know?
Yes, I agree. And we can agree on that point. I agree with that. However, it was just like the article you just read. They made some indentions and then stopped right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the essence of the article you just read. I agree wholeheartedly. But then this is our struggle to carry on. This is where we pick up the mantle. This is where we pick up the fight.
Yes, I agree.
So the struggle continues. And also, number two, who was this organization that you and Brother Jay and the man he was talking about, who was that person?
The person is Grandmaster Jay. The organization is Not Effing Around Coalition, NFAC, the NFAC. Now, I was told that they're based here in Atlanta. And if somebody has information on that, please let me know. Because I would love to have the brother on the program.
And what do they represent?
Their defense. Because they ain't messing around. Their defense. Their whole idea is to establish a defense force. So when the Caucasian, particularly the right wings, reactionaries, the Klan, the neo-Nazis, the all the other paramilitary groups say, July 4th, we're going to start killing, you know, American African people. The brother said, well, if you say at 4 o'clock you're going to start killing us, at 4:05 we're going to start killing you. And so when that was said, I even played the piece from the brother from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, who based upon what he stated, was his responsibility to monitor all of those groups, to look at what is being said on right-wing, you know, media sites and so forth. And it became that he said to us, because I remember seeing somebody sending that around a number of times on Facebook, that they were going to kill American African people on the 4th of July. Well, that brother, although this is what Grandmaster Jay said as well, he was a little upset because the turnout, he supposed or thought that he was going to get about 4,000 of us coming to Stone Mountain in Georgia, in the Atlanta area, 4,000. But he got about over 1,000 from what they said. I mean, I can't, you know, estimate how large a number based upon what I seen. But what I seen was a lot of us. And they were all dressed in black and they had their weapons. And they were in formation and they looked like they were going to be ready to do whatever has to be done to deal with the issues at hand.
They really did. And that is one of the things that we talk about, a defense of our people and a defense of our nation. And I applaud and I respect those brothers and sisters for going out there and standing up to defend lives of black people.
Right.
And I don't think one white bullet was tossed on that day. When they saw us, they knew we was ready to defend our people and our nation.
Because when you look at the position that Caucasians are in, particularly the dwindling numbers that they have, but that's just not here in America. That's globally. Their numbers are dwindling because they have been experiencing for quite some time negative population growth. For every two that die, only one is born. And so those numbers have been consistently going down, you know, and it's always been that fear, you know, just as of genetic survival. That's why there's been... I'm sorry, say what?
You bring up another point, but these other two I want to mention right quickly is Khalil Muhammad. I love that brother. We all did. You talking about the brother who has gone on to the ancestors now. Is that the right Khalil?
Right.
Brother James is referring to?
Right, right. He was speaking of somebody who was an eloquent speaker, somebody who was very articulate as Khalil Muhammad. I love Khalil. I loved his spirit. I love Khalil.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I knew that, and I knew that Minister Farrakhan had to give up Khalid in order to continue with the Million Man March in 1995. He had to give him up, and that's what happened.
Okay, yes, I love Brother Khalid still do to this day. You know, some of us are just one of a kind. My question is, who was he married to? And I'm gonna leave that right there. The fourth point I wanted to bring up is, do you think that the African people on the continent or at home have an idea, a concept of what slavery is? I don't think they really do.
Yeah, they don't know the terrific horse, but no, the colonization of the continent was captivity as well, was enslavement.
Yeah,
you know, look at yes.
But do they know? Yeah,
no. Looking at, they know it. They know it. They know the numbers of people who have been killed, who have been maimed, hands and feet cut off. You know, they know it.
They know they know the outcome of enslavement. I know they know that for true.
Mm-hmm.
But do they really understand the concept of the enslavement that their leaders, some of them, some of them today, have put that continent under? That's my question. And the last one is, you speak of the numbers of our populace. Like you said, since the 70s, it's unconceivable to me that we're still at 13%.
Right. Right.
That, yeah.
Right. No, and no. Listen. We were more than that. We were about 17%, if not more. We were more than that. I don't believe, and I think we're more than 13%, but there's definitely no doubt that this has gone down because of factors. Homosexuality, mass incarceration.
Yes.
Addiction.
Abortion,
addiction. You know.
Absolutely.
So,
I question that number very much so. Yeah. Since the 70s, that's like 50 years.
Yeah.
But I had read during a report that the WHO had said that there have been 17 million African-American abortions since Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
17 million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Y'all have a blessed
time. All right, dear. Thank you, Queen. Well, you know, it's another issue we got to deal with and talk about. And in the midst of a whole bunch of other things. But all of it must lead. All of the things must lead to the road towards sovereignty. They must all lead to the road towards sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday. Right back here again for more African Perspectives. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we shall be victorious. Peace, family.